Conversate for a few.
Welcome to the next episode of Conversate for a Few. I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This is not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely is not. This is a podcast about hip hop. What we doing today, bruh?
Topic for today is, should record labels be responsible for an artist's well-being?
Okay.
That's a good question.
You know it is. It's a big question today.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know that it was much of a issue in eras before.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't much, you know, we was more concerned with industry rule number 4080, not whether they was going to, you know, bail us out.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess we could jump right into it. Should you just give your opinion on what you, a yes or no,
yeah.
And then we can kind of go from there?
Yeah, I say yes.
Oh, wow.
And I say yes because, like, the artists are going to generate money that sustains the label.
True.
And I'm not saying every artist, you got certain artists that's breadwinners for the label, right? However, it goes. It's an artist that's going to generate money to sustain the label. And in generating that money, right, in generating the money for the label, that artist will never share equally with the label.
Okay.
And I know the label puts money in the marketing and et cetera, but I could actually argue that point today because labels kind of won't even sign you if you're not already popping on social media.
Right.
Well, that is part of the package now. They want you to already have a buzz on social media and have actually kind of move some units.
Right. So, okay.
Or clicks, I should say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, shit. Today, clicks are units. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, okay. So my question is, just to clarify, to make sure I'm getting your stance. Yeah. Because the label is going to benefit and reap the highest end of reward, they should have some stake in the well-being of the artist.
Right. Right, absolutely.
I would agree if they were in the wellness business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, they're in the business of making money.
They're in the business of making money. Like, they don't...
So here's the thing. This is why it's even a question, because it really becomes a moral question.
There we go. It does. That's what it is.
Morals don't necessarily take precedence when business is on the table.
This is a business This is a business question, but we kind of answering it from a moral standpoint, and that's almost. For lack of a better word, it's unfair to the question. You see what I'm saying? Because it's like, should a CEO care about the janitor? You know what I mean? At every facility, you know what I mean? So he got 100 facilities across the United States. He should essentially morally care about the well-being of the janitor at the facility that makes him the least amount of money. You know what I mean? But from a business standpoint, we know that 9 times out of 10, the CEO could care less if the janitor makes it work today, but can you get a janitor that will make it to work today? We don't even care why he didn't make it to work. You know what I mean? Like, that's typically how it goes. So I'm just hard-pressed to understand why we expect different from the music industry.
Well, I don't necessarily say I agree with that. See, I'm of the belief that the people should be valued either way. Specifically, if they are, like, if Drake was my artist, I would make sure he's good, because him being good is actually, and it's funny, I could argue that the moral perspective actually will feed into the business perspective. Because, okay, I could care about the well-being of my artist. I want him to be straight, because he's going to make me money. He's my number one workhorse.
I totally understand it. I totally understand it from a moral perspective. And I'm not speaking, I'm not caping. I think you understand that, but I want to make sure the audience understands that this ain't on some Skip and Shannon Undisputed. I'm not just picking a side and caping for a side that I don't believe in. I'm not even caping for, you know what I mean, the fact that they shouldn't do it. I just think we should probably monitor our expectations when it comes to things like that. You know what I mean? We don't expect the music industry, we don't speak about the music industry caring about the well-being of an artist in any other genre of music. We know for a fact that the labels allowed them, the metalheads and the rock and roll dudes, to ruin themselves for decades without stepping in to do anything, as long as they were printing money. You know what I mean? I don't know why we would expect I do know why. I do have a theory, but I don't know why, but I have a theory, and we'll get to that. But I don't, for the sake of this part of the conversation, I don't know why we would expect record labels or the music industry itself to treat today and these artists any different than they did before.
Yeah, so I'll say this. I don't expect it. Right. I don't expect them to do a damn thing.
Right. And I guess the question really wasn't, do we expect it? It was, should they?
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
Right. I think they should, because think of, if we can list a lot of great, brilliant artists that died broke but made millions for the label. And I know people can say, well, they should have negotiated the contract better, or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But even with a good negotiation of contract, they still find ways to rob you.
Yeah.
So we do know that. That's part of the business framework of America. Even if we are quote unquote doing good business, they still find, you know, ways to cut corners, ways not to give you all of what you may be owed.
Right. That's, you know, business. I mean? Like you said, that's business. Especially in America.
Analytics are telling you really what you're making.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I agree with that part of it. I just don't know. Okay, maybe it's time for this part of the conversation. The reason I think we've gotten to a point where we have a expectation, or this, not even an expectation, but there has to be some level of expectation for the question to even exist, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, should they or should not they? You know what I mean? There has to be some level of expectation for the question to even exist. And I think we got there. Honestly, it's a byproduct of a good thing. We started seeing faces that looked like ours running the labels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you see a face that looks like yours, you expect for that face to care about the human that they signed. You know what I'm saying? Not just sign somebody because they were a profitable artist, give them a bag and allow them to continue to ruin their lives without any step in, without any mental health advocacy, without anything. It's like, okay, we'll find another one. That's basically how record labels treat, especially artists of the day, you know. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And with that said, right, I think the point that you made earlier when you were saying that in no other genre do we expect the labels to care about the artist's well-being and the rock and roll people ruining themselves and stuff, etc. But here's, to me, I think a big difference. Is those people that number one, rap and hip hop artists are just uniquely different from anything ever before it. Okay, and what I mean by that is that these other genres, it was never a time that they weren't invited to Grammys, stuff like that. So I'm saying that it looks like hip hop already was fighting. They were fighting an uphill battle just to be respected.
Yeah.
from the start. And that was, and when you look at it, of course, hip hop is predominantly, it's particularly in its inception, dominated by blacks. Right. So now we're saying that we don't. So to me, it's translated into y'all niggas don't deserve to be here, and we don't think it's gonna last, and we don't really think y'all music got any value. So it's tied to the American perspective that how they always looked at, and remember, it was a it was and really still is a male dominated genre.
Yeah.
The view that white America have of black men factors into all of why we really don't give a damn. But if we can make some money off y'all, then, you know.
Okay, so that's the absolute truth, right? So essentially, record labels, the music business, in its on a whole, treats black men the same exact way America does.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't really care about your well-being. Yeah. We just need to get that bread off the off your back. You know, right. Which would lend itself to a label owned by a face that looks more like yours, inherently you wanting it to have more of a care. You know what I mean? More of a more of a say so in your well-being. You would hope that that would be the stance. I had a conversation with Pop's son, Malik Glass, right? And he was he really believes that labels should look out for artists. And I'm like, I don't know that it makes sense to want that. You know what I mean? I don't know that it makes sense to want it. Especially if you gotta just look at history, it doesn't make sense to want it. Because it's not gonna happen.
Not want it. I think it doesn't make sense to expect it. We shouldn't set that as an expectation. Because you know it's history shows you it's not going
to
happen.
You shouldn't even go into the situation wanting it to happen. Of course you would want it to happen. But if it's enough of you that wants it to happen, you hoping it happens. And if you hoping it happens, a part of you that expects it to happen, get out of here. It's not going to happen. What you probably should do, and this is what I told Malik, a person with your thinking needs to find a team and create a record label that does exactly what it is that you say a record label should do. Because that's the only way they're going to exist. And that's definitely the only way they're going to exist consistently. Somebody has to create record labels with a moral compass, with a heart. You know what I mean? And not allow their artists to ruin themselves. You know? Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's so many ways to, areas to go with this. I don't know how, if we want to get dark this early on in the conversation, but I'm just putting a question like this, and it can take it. We can go with it where we want to go. Do you think the labels care whether their artists live or die?
No. Okay. Let's separate things just a little bit for people, because I think that could be a really really harsh answer. We can speak about the record label as an entity, right? And then we can speak about people inside that building. That's different from the record label. There are going to be people inside that building that care. You see what I'm saying? There are going to be people that are close to an artist that care, that want that artist to make it. They want that artist to have a fulfilling life. But the entity itself couldn't give a damn, I don't think. They may, and they make more money with you dead.
Right. And that, and so, and that is my point. And of course, that goes into all of us going through a wave for a few years now of young hip hop artists dying.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the whole thing about labels taking out insurance policies on the artists.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you?
Not if you care. So you're only taking it out because you are counting on death, and you're going to make money. You're going to cash out with the policy and the music.
I'm devil's advocate. I'm getting a policy because I know that this person is reckless, and he was reckless when I met him. And I'm getting ready to give this reckless person, I'm potentially going to put this reckless person in a position where they have millions of dollars. One thing that I know is that money doesn't solve a problem. It just makes you more what you are. It's going to make this person more reckless. I'm also going to invest a lot of money in this person. And the only way to get it back if this person dies is this insurance policy. You see what I'm saying?
But that's not the only way, because they know they're going to get money off the music.
I don't know this thing's going to be a hit.
Okay, so we're talking about someone like a Prince.
I mean, yeah, but you got to understand, I signed Prince day one. I don't know that the public's going to like Prince. I'm talking about on the way in. I'm not asking you to Prince. I'm not going to ask Jay-Z to sign after he dropped Hard Not Life. That don't make no sense. You see what I'm saying? But I am going to ask him to sign it on the way in with Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
And the artists that we just, the two names we chose, Prince and Jay-Z, they might not get asked to sign it, but NBA Youngboy is. Kodak Black is.
Yeah.
Because the likelihood that them niggas get themselves shot seems to be a lot higher.
Right.
You know? Now.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Now, on your side of things, I could say that labels are purposely signing artists that they know part of what they selling is the fact that you could die any day now. You know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. I could go about my business as a label and not sign artists that could possibly, I mean, all of us could die any day, but that could possibly go get shot from an op. Mm-hmm. All of us ain't doing that every day. You know what I mean? Right. Right. So I could not sign those types of artists. I could be the type of label that wants to sign, you know, something a little more calm, threatening. Mm-hmm. But they don't choose to do that. So I do understand your point, you know, based on who they sign.
Yeah.
They should be, maybe they should be willing to accept the risk.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what, from your perspective, right? Because they really don't exist in the way they used to, but A&R, what was their job? And was it ever their job to help the artists develop in a way in terms of I would say,
like, personally,
artists reckless, like cutting down on the recklessness, like kind of conducting themselves. You know, like you get certain people get media training of how to do interviews and stuff like that. Like, was it ever a time about was that ever a part of the artist's repertoire?
I think that was part of artist development, and some of that may have fallen on the A&R. I don't know if that was specifically the A&R's job. At some places, that was the A&R job. Like, I think that was kind of Wayno's job a little bit. You know what I mean? When he was running around with Chris and Neef and Young Guns and them boys. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was a lot to keep them out of trouble, but it was also to do admin and management duties to make sure things was running smooth and that kind of thing. So I think that's part of it. But like we've been saying, though, from a human aspect, if I'm A&R your project, right, and I see you a wild boy, and I want you to make it to the finish line, I'm probably going to pull you to the side and bend your ear like, yo,
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, fall back a little bit, at least. You see what I'm saying? But you can't, you mean, I don't know that it was an A&R's job. It wasn't in his job description, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Now, But when you, like I said again, you close, if it's these smaller labels, I might tell you, you know, A&R that project, make sure they don't get in no trouble. I just gave you two jobs, though, because that A&R and the project ain't to make sure you don't get in no trouble. It's to make sure you had the best possible product.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was thinking, I don't know about this era, but I do believe there was an era where labels were putting artists in situations to get help, they just weren't telling us about it. Because the help that the artists needed were things that we looked down on.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody like Rough Riders, I don't think they was letting DMX flounder without trying to get him help.
Right, yeah.
You see what I mean? So I think there is an aspect of, I mean, the other day, I was watching this thing and Lil Uzi Vert was giving a eulogy at Desto. His artist Desto got shot and killed a while back. Mm-hmm. And they were showing pictures of clips from the eulogy. And he was speaking about how they had sent him to rehab. And she called him every day he was in rehab. But we didn't know he was in rehab.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times... Mm-hmm. These artists may be getting help from teams internally that may come from the label, may come from their own team or whatever. But I do think they may be getting a certain level of help or advice that the public's not privy to.
Right.
And then when shit fall all the way off the wheels, we like, damn, they don't give a damn about the artists. And we blame them, like, you know. So, but yeah. I don't know that that's happening in every case. I could just speak to those two. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so everything that we've discussed so far, I'm reflecting over, right? My perspective and the answers I've said and what you've shared, right? And I figured out my answer, initial answer, it comes from the perspective of a fan of the music and not a business person.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like, and it really came up like kind of about DMX. I know that some of the execs tried to do certain stuff to help him.
Right.
To get X help. And I don't think they was doing it because they knew he was going to sell a million records. Right. Mm-hmm. I think they liked him and they actually cared about him. They had some genuine love for X. Yeah. Because they saw his value as an artist and what he brought to the culture.
Right.
And so I think so that's the way I'm looking at it. I feel like, so my perspective is I feel like it ain't even like really about the money, but if the artists are good artists making quality music, they're contributing something, it's just a natural kind of thing to want them to be well.
It's like, you know, a Medici of well-being, right? You see what I'm saying? Kanye was talking about the Medici family. It's like the Medici's of well-being.
Yeah.
You know, you want to keep the artists that are giving the world this great art, like keep them lively, keep them thriving. And it seems like that would be the goal of a record label or a music industry, you know? But it's not.
It's not. And especially not. Where the music has come to now and the way the music is distributed, and how I just have to say, I don't know another way to say it, but overall, and this is kind of a blanket statement, but the way just the music has been devalued, it doesn't even garner that type of, it don't even garner from people that type of care and concern.
Because
you're not even really dedicated to this craft and to art like that anyway.
Because they've washed it down to, for lack of a better word, you get less artists and more street nigga. Like, you get more credit for being a street nigga than you do being a great artist.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and when somebody, I mean, I hate to speak about it this way, but it seems as if when one of these dudes died nowadays, and I think the frequency that it happens has a lot to do with this, but I think the way they're portraying themselves and the way fans view them is being received different. Oh, is being received differently too this way. When we lost people like Big Pac, Big L, Jam Master Jay, there was a blow to the arts.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? To the music. It's like, what? When this is happening nowadays, it feels a lot, even from the masses, not from me, it feels a lot less about the music and more about it, some street shit. You see what I'm saying? Right. Like it's...
So it's a lot less personal. Because I don't know, I'm not involved and connected to your street shit. I'm connected, we connected to Pac, L, Pun.
Right.
Because of that music.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, damn. Because you know, ain't another one of what you just did is not coming no more.
Right. That's a fact. That's a fact. And that's got to be a lot of what that's about. You know, they're connecting. The lore is being presented and forced on us a lot more than the music is.
Yeah.
You know, the lore and the drama that's going around, going on around the stories, especially to our generation and maybe a little bit younger than us. You see what I'm saying? The kids are probably way more tapped into the music. You know what I mean? So it's a gut punch for them. You know, but it ain't it's happening so often that it's not as big of a gut punch as it was for us. It's just not, you know.
Right. Yeah, it isn't.
It's just not. You can see it in the way they're responding. It's like, lost another one.
Yeah. Oh man, okay, I'm gonna take it one notch up.
Yeah.
Because I'm about to contradict myself. I don't know that the record labels should care about the artists.
I know.
If the artists don't, because see, now we're talking, and I'm glad you brought all that up. Because see, now if you don't have any value for your own life, and that's what you're talking about, and you don't value other life the way you speak about life in your music,
right?
Why the hell are we going to value you?
This record label is not a helping hand mission. I'm here to make bread. You want to make money? I want to make money. If you want to live, nigga, right. You'll do that.
Right. But do you see my point? Morality point, you'd be defeated by the businessman if you say, okay, let's talk morality. But okay, you make op music.
Right. I should care more than you.
You don't care about your life. You living reckless. You willing to take other people's lives.
Right.
And you know other people want to take your lives and you don't have no problem with it. And putting it on wax, and neither do they. So why do you want me to care about your own life? You don't care about your life,
right?
So it's kind of, it gets to the point you can't expect somebody to care more about you and have more respect and concern about you than you have about yourself, and more than what you display for other people.
You got to think, it's like, you want me to care. Not only do you want me to care, you want me to ultra care. Like, the way you said it, you got ops, you trying to kill ops, you know ops is trying to kill you, you celebrating it in the music. You were doing that shit when I met you. Who am I to make you clean that up? You was gonna do it whether you met me or not, because you was already doing it. So I'm gonna help you make some money off of it, and hopefully you be smart enough to get yourself out of it. And if not, you was gonna die anyway. Do you see how they looking at it? And you was gonna die anyway.
Sooner before I signed you.
Way quicker.
Yeah.
Way quicker.
And, you know, that's kind of, unfortunately, what we're saying is true, is crazy, because unfortunately, that's like just the dark, cold truth of it.
That's the dark, cold truth. That's the dark, cold truth. And the other dark, cold truth is as long as we're buying it, they're gonna sign it. You see what I'm saying? Like, as long as it's being bought, they're going to sign it. You know what I mean? And as long as they sign it, people are going to live it out and try to get signed doing it. So it's just a cycle. You know what I mean? So it ain't up to the labels to care. It's up to people like me and you to care. That, you know what I mean? That talk to the Malik Glasses.
Right.
And you see what I'm saying? It ain't up to the labels. The labels is not going to care. And should they even care? No, they have never done it. That's not how the business was set up. If the business was... Should hospitals care? Yeah. Because that's how the fuck that business was set up.
Yeah. Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's simple. Mm-hmm. Should a clinic care? Yes, because that's how that business was set up.
Right. You know what? I'm sticking with that, man. They shouldn't care. No, they shouldn't care about the well-being. I disagree with it, with my whole original premise and perspective. And the reason why, you know why, is because I want everybody to now take, if we're being truthfully honest, no, damn it, everybody got to take accountability for what they saying and doing.
Period.
So,
period.
No, and that leads to a greater discussion for, we don't have to discuss it now because it's an independent topic, but we go, but I'll ask you, I'll just ask you this question, you understand the topic. If the content changed, do you think the labels would care more?
No. You think they would?
I don't know. But okay, so I'm going to ask it like this. Okay, watch. Do you think the labels, I'm going to say, do you think the label cared more about Nas during the time of Illmatic, It Was Written, Jay doing Reasonable Doubt, than they did an NBA Young Boy or whoever, Chef G?
No, not at all.
Now?
Not at all. Nope. I don't think the labels care any more about that human than they do these humans. At all. At all. You know? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Okay. So So that's it. So, but out of that, my point being is that we must.
It's up to us.
It's so funny because I know your favorite type of rap, right?
Yeah.
But like when we talk about this,
I've been sitting here thinking it for like the last
the content.
Yeah.
Do we really want the content to be cleaned up and changed?
No. We don't let this shit get way too out of hand. It's our fault. You know what I mean? Like, it's our fault. Our generation accepted the shift from black culture, like positive black culture images, to street life. That happened on our watch. And we've said it on this show before. You see what I'm saying? That happened on our watch, and we ate it up. You know what I mean? Ate it up. The difference is, this is an art conversation, right? Hip hop was still closer to its inception, so it was still more artfully, it was less commodity and more art. So when the streets hit hip hop, a lot of it, the parts of it that we loved was being done in an extremely artful way. Nas was the second coming of Rakim. You see what I'm saying? You can see Mobb Deep was a direct tie to Nas, which allowed Queens to flourish in a way. You see what I'm saying? Jay-Z kept coming with a completely different perspective that a lot of us didn't even, not even a lot of, I can say me, I can speak for myself. I didn't even understand what he was talking about at first. It was over my head. You know what I mean? At that point, I didn't understand hustling on that scale at that point. You know, I understood hand to hand. I didn't even think about he had to be getting it from somewhere. You know what I mean? It was all extremely artfully done. You know, so they were telling the story. You know what I mean? It was about the story that was being told, less about this person being a thug, or less about this person being a, you know what I mean? But as it grew steam, people started to, what's the word I'm looking for? Not inherit, but encapsulate. They started to really carry out it started to be more of a show. It became more of a commodity. You know what I mean? We still kept buying it. Now it's a lot of commodity and way more street. You know, when it was a lot more art, and then the art was reflecting the street. Now it's a lot less art, a lot more street, and a lot more commodity.
Right.
You know, I hope that makes sense to people. It rambled in my head, but I'm talking to you, so. They can play it back. Shit, if it didn't make any sense, rewind it. You can listen to it a couple times. You'll feel it. Yeah. So, yeah, man. But I don't think labels care about the content. No. The labels is going to sell whatever we buy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were selling X-Clan and Public Enemy. They were selling De La Soul, Jungle Brothers, and Tribe Called Quest, and they sold Game, 50 Cent, and Jay-Z, and now they selling NBA YoungBoy and whoever else, Murder, Death, Killing out there. But I cannot be a hypocrite and be mad about these boys creating Murder, Death, Kill music.
No.
I definitely rode around in my car singing, I'll kill you, I ain't playing. You hear what I'm saying, motherfucker, I ain't playing. I will kill you. What? And I'm headed to the clubs. They have a good time. Yeah. Like, so is it our fault as a, how do we fix it if it's our fault? How do we, one of the ways we fix it is we encourage people that are starting labels, we encourage them to do it from a, to add a moral compass to your record label. You know what I mean? And follow that compass for as long as you can. Because once you get in there, you're going to get off. They're going to try to get you off track to do some grimy shit. That's just the way the game go. But set forth with the intention of doing it morally, right?
Right.
I don't know what the next thing would be. What the next thing. Change what you listen to. We can't ask these kids to do that.
Yeah, the only thing is about how we talk about music, like fashion trends coming back around. Mm. So that may be the only thing that changes is maybe the style comes back around, like the X Clan, De La, Tribe, that type of vibe comes back around, or the more poetic Nas, Jay, like, you know, but who knows? Because what happened is the street life that we talk about, that Nas spoke about, it made it so beautifully poetic.
Yeah.
It, for me, it didn't make me want to live a street life. What it did is made me appreciate the artistry.
That's what I'm talking
right?
about.
Right? Made mm-hmm. me be like, damn, he's mm-hmm. nice.
Right.
Like, forget he said whatever he said about killing or smoking or drinking, whatever the case is. Damn, do you hear how he said it and put it together?
Exactly.
It's fucking genius.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so to me, that it pushed artistry. Now, doesn't negate the fact that there is street element in it. What I see now is that the younger generation, because let's be real, hey, it's hard as hell being that good. But what we can do is cue in more on this street thing and magnify it and intensify it. And now you have op music. Have drill rap.
There you go. That's a beautiful point, bro. That's absolutely how, I mean, that was the timeline. You can see how it played out for us anyway. You know what I mean? Right. It was a quick, you know, flash and how that played out for us. I had a question. I hope it didn't slip my mind. But with I think it was around Nas, right? When he was doing that, what point, this is where I went, it's hard for me to ask the question. I'm trying to get words in my head. At what point did you see Nas as a commodity? Because before there was a period in time to me, because you making that statement, I just started seeing his career, you know what I mean, the timeline. So there was a period that it was all art for me. You see what I'm saying? Where it was poetry, it was street, it was art. And then it got to a point where it started to become a commodity. Mm-hmm. And visually, there's one visual that popped into my head when the commodity started. And not that he's not a great artist and he didn't keep doing great art, but they even made Nas a commodity when he was 100% art at one point.
Right. I think two images. I don't know. It may not even be.
Right?
I would say post it was written, All right, him in the pink suit and him up on the cross.
Those are the two images. Those are the two images I had in my head. I wish I'd have written them down. You hit the nail on the head. Those are the two images. And honestly, Hate Me Now came first. And right before you started talking, Street Dreams came in my head. I was like, damn, Street Dreams was first, but Hate Me Now is the one. Like, it was cracks in it, and it was cracks in it with Street Dreams. But I think that was more than trying to do some casino art shit. Like, he was just trying to be fly.
Even that was arty.
Even that was kind of arty. Hate Me Now was 100% commodity.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? We're going to sell Nas. Nas, you got to sell some records. You know? But I think that's, I think we've kind of gotten to a little bit of why we're looking at what we're looking at, and the dilemma of why we even think labels should be responsible. Maybe we should just speak. I think we kind of touched on it a little bit, but I'm just gonna say it right out. The reason this topic even came up, and maybe I know y'all, the listening public is intelligent, so y'all probably already got there, but it came up because we losing artists to gun violence, to, you know what I mean? Like, home invasions, overdoses, I mean, all suicides, all types of things nowadays in a way that didn't exist before, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe part of the reason we asked this question is because it didn't exist in this way before. And there's got to be something that's happening now that's causing such an influx of death in hip hop. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, should the label be more responsible and try to cut some of this out? Like, what are they doing? What are they not doing? But via this conversation, I think we got to some things. Like, there are some things that the labels could do. There are some things that I think the labels are doing. You know? But ultimately, I don't know that it's on them. And I don't know that it ever was or ever will be.
Right.
You know, but it is on somebody. And, you know, it's, and that's us.
Yeah.
You know, how we fix it, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, pie in the sky, right? You just got to get enough people swinging for the fences with, for lack of a better word, content that's not morally corrupt.
Yeah.
And if you can, if you can go through the roof with content, like with genuine, artistic, good music, and send it through the roof, if that happens 2 to 3 times, everything will shift. I believe that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I believe that. It'll shift. 2 to 3 times, some, like, it, that's what happened before. We got good wholesome shit that went through the roof 2 to 3 times back to back. You know what I mean? You get Public Enemy, you get De La Soul and them, and the next thing you know, you get, you know what I mean? It didn't take much else. You know what I mean? It got tilted, and it was off to the races. And after that, you got Pure Righteous Teachers, EMCs, you know what I mean? Whoever else, whatever. You know what I mean? So there at least needs to be a big silo of it. Since everything is so siloed today. You know.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
How hot do it gotta be for you to listen to it though?
Oh, it's gotta be, man, it's gotta be sizzling hot, man. No, but that, and that's the, you know what I mean? That's just the truth. Because now this other type, if this morally corrupt music is sizzling hot, then I'm going to be listening to Force Family for life for the rest of the time.
Yeah. You're right.
You know what I mean?
You're
one of my favorite albums.
You're right, though. You ain't nothing wrong with what you said, because that's just the fan perspective. You know, I'm glad you started this conversation from the fan side of things, and I started from the business side of things. Not something we discussed, but when you brought that up, I thought that was smart. You know what I mean? That it happened that way. You know what I mean? Right. Because that automatically set us on opposite sides of the fence, you know, because I definitely hadn't thought about it from what the fans are experiencing, other than them not being devastated when an artist dies the way we were, you know. But yeah, man, I don't know what else you got on this one, bro.
Oh man, I think that's it. All I'm thinking about now is going to listen to MOP, First Family Full Life. I love the hypocrisy of it all.
Fact, because when I cut this up, I think I'm gonna rock the Infamous.
That's so bad. But yeah, man, because I'm thinking about when you say how hot does it have to be?
That, right? Yeah, exactly.
Right, and so I'm thinking. Right, yeah, it may be not the best message, but the how it's put together, executed, and the rhymes is so fire.
Right, and I'm gonna lean into fire every time.
Right, because it's artistry that exactly. That don't have anything exactly. to do with the moral compass.
My moral compass is set. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm good. Whatever they talking about is not gonna affect me one way or the other.
Right.
You know, I'm also not 12 or 13.
Right, true. That's
you
true.
Know, so I'm getting ready to go listen to something crazy. Right. Period. Now, let me ask you this. I know before we get out of here, the top artist of today with a good moral compass, Kendrick and Cole, we're getting them out of the way.
Corday.
Oh, okay. I ain't think about Corday. I never think about Corday, but...
Oh, that was if Corday watches this, that would be kind of hilarious. She said, I never think about
Corday. I don't, man. It's like, it's something.
Yeah, Childish Gambino.
Jid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, J.I.D. I would say is on there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Wow. It ain't a mad long list. Wale.
I'll never think about him.
You see? Me neither, but he on there.
And I don't like his music. Except for the one.
Yeah, he got two albums that I really, really rock with. Ambition and the Seinfeld joint. Album
Seinfeld. That's the only thing you told me about. Yeah,
that shit crack. But yeah, that's the list right there that I can think of. Denzel Curry.
Denzel Curry.
Nipsey would have been one, even though he was street, but he, you know what I mean? He kept it. Vince and Boogie.
I would definitely say West Side Boogie, and I would even say Vince Staples.
Yeah. He talked reckless, but he do it in a way that brings it back to a point. He's not just talking reckless. It's like, right, it's got a moral compass.
It's got
a moral compass. I think that's a good thing to kind of touch on before we get out of here too. It's like, we're not asking for you to be conscious rap or...
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Or whatever that is. You see what I'm saying? But to have a good moral compass and to tell the full story, if you're going to tell the story, don't tell the ops. You see what I'm saying? Don't tell her I'm sweeping the block for my ops. Like, talk about how you really felt at the funeral. Talk about how his mom was pissed at you. Talk about everything. Talk about everything you went through. Tell the whole story if you're going to. Use your moral compass. Even if you're going to do some wrong, there's got to be a moral compass. You see what I'm saying? It's got to lead to something.
Right. And I think that's what it is. Okay, so now we take it to. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Violence, just for the sake of violence, to me, never appealed to me.
Right, right.
I always loved mob movies because they was moving with a moral compass. So I didn't have a problem with them killing this person because they violated the laws that they agreed to live by, right?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. So the point is, it made sense. It wasn't just killing just for the sake of killing. It had no point. But on the flip side of that, someone could probably argue it, but I wasn't into a bunch of scary movies. Just like, someone just killing people just to kill people.
Right. Like, you just got a maniac out here. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. I feel you. Right. I'm with you though. I agree.
Right. So I think it should be a balance. Like, not saying that you can't talk about I'm not saying anything is off limits to talk about, but it should be balanced. It shouldn't be just one extreme. I'm just killing my ops. There's the balance to that. And like, we very rarely get any backdrops on that, like real true backdrops and, you know, to any of those stories. But point being, it should be some balance to it, and it should be done with artistry.
Yeah.
You know, with some degree of artistry to
That's important. That to have
And I think that's what it is. It's just the lack of balance.
The lack of balance, the lack of artistry, and the lack of moral compass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because you could have a moral compass and go in one way, but balance is what's going to allow you to really move how you want to move. You know what I mean? And yeah, you're right. That's what it boiled down to. If they had the artistry was still intact, you're more, you know, artistry may lend itself to having a decent moral compass, because because with artistry you're gonna have a certain level of integrity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once the artistry starts to wane, you know, your integrity can go as far out the window as you would like. And with that, you can throw the moral compass with it, and everything, we kill anything, like, you know, we slide on anything that move at this point. It ain't even a retaliation. We just slide. You know, it's like, damn. What happened? Exactly. Like you said, what's the backstory? What happened? Why are you slide? Why are you so mad today?
Right.
You know.
But see, you know why we don't get that backstory? You know why we don't know what happened? Because unfortunately, the majority of them aren't creative. See, true creativity helps to give balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like creativity just innately, it gives balance to things. If you're trying to be an actual true creative, it'll be balanced.
You're going to have a certain level of composition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And with composition, you're going to have to fill the scene out. You know what I mean? It just having an apple in the middle of the table ain't enough. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're right. Man, I think we hitting the nail on the head. I hope the audience don't feel like we let labels off the hook. You know what I mean? Because that wasn't the intent. I think the intent was to kind of frame reality instead of, you know what I mean? Instead of being pie in the sky. So we know the labels aren't going to do it. And I don't know that it was ever their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, we lost our sense of responsibility inside the genre and the culture of hip hop. You know what I mean? And we bearing the brunt of that now.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And the sad thing is the kids seem to be bearing the brunt of it, because them the ones that's dying. You know? It's like...
Yeah. Yep. Mm.
We could do all the complaining we want to do, but it's like, you can't force them to do a different type of rap.
Yeah, that's
true. You can't. Because I done had some conversations with some of my young boys that spit whatever, and of course they wanted to try drill, the hottest new style out here. Of course they wanted to try it. You know what I mean? But if you ain't a You see what I'm saying? Like, that don't make sense. That don't make sense, bro. Like, choose different content. If you choosing content, you know what I mean? Like, if you choosing content, then choose something different. Because that's basically what you're doing. Like, if you write what's from your heart, that's one thing. But if you choosing content, you bugging. That's another thing too. It got to a point where it was okay for you to choose content in hip hop.
Yeah.
That's something that we didn't necessarily knowingly agree to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. We agreed to it, but I don't know that we knowingly agreed to the practice of choosing content in hip hop. You ain't rapping what's from your heart. You're not rapping what you see. You're not rapping your life. You just choosing a topic and going down this path.
Right. We didn't knowingly do that. What happened was when it became McDonald's,
yeah,
and people could choose what cookie cutter,
yeah,
image they wanted to fit into.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because to be honest, before, do you know why there's only one Kendrick and one Cole? Because
yeah,
it takes a little more dedication to do it.
Right. Now, I'm going to hit you with a devil's advocate from an era before.
Okay.
The Lox speak about Big taking shots of them on the track because they was rapping. They chose their content. They rapped a lifestyle. The Lox rapped a lifestyle that had nothing to do with anything near where they were at that point in life. You see what I'm saying?
It was what
and
was
got on that song with Big, and Big was like, rap about it, but ain't living it.
Yeah, niggas rap about it.
You know what I mean? So at some point, that's what I mean. It's like we unknowingly, and not to say they were faking, because they was close enough to the street to tell street tales and to talk about the street. But they started adding sauce. And if one layer of sauce get added here, and then this person pick on it and add a layer of sauce, and then this person pick on it and add a layer of sauce, now it's a whole McRib when you get over here.
Yeah. But I think, okay, but let's talk about it a little bit before we close out. Because I think it's a little different because they were street, but the sauce that they added was about, and I think it became popular to do, but about having stuff that they did not yet have.
It was aspirational. Ranges.
Aspirational.
Yeah.
They was talking about like rich stuff that they didn't have yet.
Yeah.
And Big is like, they don't got that.
Right.
They're talking about they ain't living it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
That's the thing, though. That's part of it being unknowing because they didn't purposely do that to us. They were being aspirational. But when it caught,
right.
You see what I'm saying? Sure. But when it caught, other people was like aspirational. They didn't make that connection with me and you just made. Yeah. They started throwing sauce. Mm-hmm. I got more ice than such and such and such and such. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now we in a game full of liars.
Right.
You see what I mean? Like, not now. I'm talking about then we entered into a era full of liars. Everybody's lying. The mm-hmm. fake jury era, because you know half of them niggas didn't have earrings this big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, but that was unknowing though. We didn't sign up for that, knowing that's what we was gonna get.
Right.
But like you said, once the industry or the label see that it's harder for me to sell this talent, but I can package this image. Once the labels caught on, that then we started getting fed more and more of it, and that morphed into what we see today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's the label's responsibility to sell it, but it's up to us to give them the right thing to sell.
Correct. Yep. I think that's it. That's it right there. That's it. That's it right there.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we hit the nail on the head right there.
Right there.
All right, well, shoot. Man, as usual then, we're going to ask y'all to go to YouTube, subscribe to Conversate for a Few. Go to Instagram and subscribe to Conversate for a Few. Go to Facebook and search Conversate for a Few Extended Podcast Convo. I know that's long, but if you search for Conversate for a Few on YouTube, you will find us. Stay tuned for the limited edition Futane Clan merch.
Yes.
Thank you for being patient with us during the wait. We apologize for the distance. We don't anticipate leaving y'all no more. And with that being said, I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This was not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely was not. This is a podcast about hip hop. Make room for the tag.
Conversate for a Few. Conversate for a Few. Thank you.
Hustle. Welcome, man, they had to send me. Hustle from Raleigh, live from NC with your hosts, John and Allen. Relate to the two. You are now listening to Conversate for a Few. Check it on SoundCloud, debate with your crew. They talking hip-hop from the late to the new. From July till June end, no Fridays for me. Tune in. Please listen to this podcast. 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 Please listen to this podcast.